Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this is the last day for you to nominate an issue for our upcoming election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. This year's series will concentrate on issues relevant to the New York City mayoral race and the New Jersey gubernatorial race, and we want to know the issues affecting you and your community that you would like us to cover. And this is last call. We'll do a call-in next hour, but until the end of the day, you can nominate on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org to nominate which issues to include in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series this year, focusing on the New York City mayoral race and the New Jersey gubernatorial race. WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, who cares about this New York City controller election? Who cares who does that job? It's not really a policy position. The controller doesn't decide on your taxes or how the city's money gets spent. Sure, he or she invests the massive pension fund for city workers' retirements and audits city agencies to see if they're corrupt or inefficient, but how boring is that? So on primary day next Tuesday, don't even bother to vote in the controller race and ignore all those flyers you're getting from Melinda Katz, John Liu, David Weprin, and David Yasky, and all those people endorsing them because they think it is important. And, of course, don't listen to our 10-minute interviews today and tomorrow with all four candidates in the Democratic controller primary. This decision is not worth 10 minutes of your time. In fact, tune out right now as we begin the series with Queens City Councilman John Liu. Councilman Liu, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
Why should anyone care who the controller is? Seriously.
You are issuing a challenge to your listeners about this election. This is an important election, and the comptroller's position is more critical than ever before as we have budget cuts left and right, as we have people losing their jobs, in some cases people losing their homes. This is a position.
But you don't make the budget. You don't stop foreclosures.
Well,
right?
The comptroller's office is a critical office in the city. There's a reason why this office is independently elected. This is the chief financial officer of the city, not CFO in the traditional sense that works very closely with the CEO, but someone who is independently elected that should work with the mayor whenever necessary, but will always be an independent check on the city agencies to make sure that there is no waste in the budget, that the pension funds, as you mentioned, are invested properly, and to approve all contracts. And through that leverage of procurement, there is a lot of change that the comptroller's position can bring to the city of New York.
You know, David Yasky, who will be on next, has been endorsed by the New York Times and Crane's New York Business. And I want to ask you about Crane's main reasons. Their editorial board says, quote, "While his opponents emphasize finding new revenue, i.e. more taxes, to deal with budget deficits, and some of them back yet another increase in income taxes on the wealthy, Mr. Yasky makes cuts in spending his first priority." So first, do you agree with that comparison of your and Yasky's position on taxes versus cuts to balance the budget?
I've proposed a very comprehensive set of cuts, but I've also been very realistic that we are faced with a $5 billion budget gap over the next 10 months. And I don't think, Brian, it is possible to cut $5 billion out of a $60 billion annual budget, of which only about 20 to 25 is really changeable at this point, apart from federal and state requirements. And so for anybody, any candidate, especially for the independent office of comptroller, to claim that we can cut away expenses to bridge the budget deficit, I think that's misleading. I think that's disingenuous. I have proposed cuts to the regular budget process by way of keeping a check on mid-year budget modifications to restore pension funds, to reduce the likelihood of additional taxpayer contributions to the funds, and to use a procurement process, examine the procurement process to save money by getting rid of no-bid contracts that sometimes range in the billions of dollars a year.
What's the biggest single cut you would make?
The biggest single cut I would make in the regular city annual city budget would be the mid-year budget modifications that often in my opinion, waste tens of millions of dollars because they happen in the dark of night when nobody's paying attention. But the fact of the matter
is, give me one program that would be cut. Give me one thing. Who's going to feel that pain?
Who's going to, the administration will feel that pain because this often leads to discretionary spending on the part of the administration and the various agencies. Again, it's tens of millions of dollars that can be saved if we get rid of this ongoing pattern of mid-year budget modifications.
All right. And again, why would this comparison matter? As controller, neither of you, and David Yasky will be on right after you, so we'll get his response, but neither of you would decide on spending cuts or taxes. That's the job of city council and the mayor.
The binding authority is decided by the city council, usually with the assent of the mayor. But the comptroller's office, and I would be very proactive on this, has to provide the objective analysis for those political decisions to be made by the city council and the mayor. And therefore, my objective analysis has always been that we have a huge short-term budget deficit that needs to be bridged. We cannot use rhetoric to bridge that.
So as a member of city council, you can say this. But as controller, are you going to say to the mayor, we should make these cuts and raise these taxes? It's not your job, is it?
It is the job of the comptroller to provide the objective analysis as to if we make this cut or increase spending or increase revenue or decrease spending in these areas, what the actual impact will be.
In other words, council's proposed cuts and taxes would balance the budget. That's your only role as controller, right?
But that's an important role. Let me give you another example, because you talked about Cranes. You know, Cranes talked a lot about the need to impose Tier 5 on all the city workers. The fact of the matter is that will not save any money in the coming year.
That's the new pension tier that supposedly would save more money for
correct.
The city.
Cranes is all over that, and they certainly want to see that imposed on all city workers. But the rhetoric that's out there is misleading. And so as comptroller, it will be my top priority to provide the objective analysis, one that is not beholden to the administration or anybody else.
I'll give you another one. And my guest, Councilman John Liu, running in the New York City Comptroller Democratic primary next Tuesday. The Crane's endorsement of Yasky also says, quote, at a recent Crane-sponsored debate, Yasky was the only controller candidate who said Joel Klein should continue as public schools chancellor. That's a telling sign that his view of city government is closer to that of the New York business community than the other candidates' positions are. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I have a great deal of support from the business community, and the business community is certainly not monolithic. It's possible that there's a certain type of business community represented by Cranes. The fact of the matter is, I've said very clearly when asked that Chancellor Klein, that we need a change in the chancellor's office, that his time, his usefulness has expired as chancellor.
And again, is this relevant to the race? Should anyone care whether you or Yasky think Klein
yes,
should stay
it should
or go?
Be because, Brian,
you're not the education control.
Brian, I have a very expansive view of what the comptroller's office is capable of impacting in New York City. It is a very large office that has binding authority in many areas in which city government is run, from approving all contracts to auditing the agencies to root out the waste to holding up payments whenever it's necessary because something is awry.
What does that have to do with who the school's chancellor is?
The school's chancellor, it has everything to do with it because the fact of the matter is the Department of Education is the single largest budget item in the city's budget. And for the comptroller over the last seven some odd years of the previous mayoral control system, not being able to even look at the contracts was ridiculous. At least going forward, the comptroller will have binding authority on contracts as well as other parts of the Department of Education's budget, again, the largest item in the city's budget. And who is at the top of that department has a huge impact on all New Yorkers. And the comptroller, as an independently elected financial watchdog, that person certainly should be weighing in on who the chancellor should be and what that chancellor should be responsible for.
And about you specifically, before we run out of time, Crane says, if only the Queens councilman's politics matched his energy or his compelling personal story. The fact that he has the support of the Union Control Working Families Party and tenants' rights groups makes it clear that Mr. Liu's political and policy leanings aren't a good fit for the job or for the city's business community, unquote. So what does it mean to you that you're endorsed by tenants' groups? Is there a more pro-tenant or pro-landlord way to be a controller?
I'm very proud to have the support of tenant groups, of unions, of the Working Families Party, of elected officials all across the city, of political clubs, of civic associations. And so I'm proud to have all of the support, as well as from many business leaders. The fact of the matter is I'm reaching out to everybody. I have reached out to everybody.
Right.
And as comptroller, I will work with everybody in this city.
But again, is there a more pro-landlord or more pro-tenant way? I mean, the Times editorial, also for Yasky, is lukewarm on Melinda Katz because they say she's too close to real estate developers. So is there a pro-real estate developer or a pro-tenant way to be controller of the city of New York?
I have staked out a reputation, and I'm proud to receive the endorsements of many of these entities because of my objectivity in running city government. I'm not beholden to anybody except the people of New York. That is what I pride myself on. That is exactly what I intend to be as comptroller, as the independently elected chief financial officer. I will be a pit bull for the people of New York.
City Councilman John Liu, running in the Democratic controller primary next Tuesday. Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, Brian.
And now to Councilman David Yasky as we continue to talk about different ways to be a New York City controller. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
And you get the flip side of the same questions I was asking John Liu. If he's got tenants groups and the Working Families Party endorsing him, and you've got Crane's New York Business, are you kind of the conservative in this race?
No. Look, I'm proud to have been endorsed by the New York Times. Hardly, I don't think that's a conservative standard bearer. But, you know, I'll answer your questions directly. Is there pro-tenant, pro-landlord? Sure, there is. There are values here at stake, and I think I have a very clear record of being pro-tenant. When I took on the real estate lobby to close tax loopholes for luxury developers, I think that was taking a stand based on values. I'm proud to be the only candidate in this race who did stand up to the real estate lobby to close those loopholes. I'm proud to be the only candidate in this race who stood up to the real estate lobby to say we have to have affordable housing when there's development in formerly manufacturing areas. So,
That doesn't answer the question, because that's part of what you did as a city council member.
Yes.
Is there a more pro-landlord or more pro-tenant way to be New York City controller?
Well, I think that it's quite relevant because, yes, as controller, you have a huge impact on the policy of the city government, really in every area, including in affordable housing. For example, you can use the audit power to say, we're going to look at what the housing department's doing and seeing if it's producing enough affordable housing. And the values that you bring to that will inform how you do that job. You can say, as Bill Thompson has done, I'm going to invest in affordable housing in this city. And I think that was a good policy of Bill Thompson. It's one I would continue. So, of course, your values come into play as controller because it's a policy job. It's a financial job. You have to have somebody who's going to do the meat and potatoes right, and that's why the New York Times has endorsed me. That's why Crane's has endorsed me. They have respect for somebody who will make sure that you do the nuts and bolts of that job correctly. But it's also a policymaking job, and I will bring that vision to it.
How is it a policymaking job? It's only in the charter that you audit city agencies to see that they're not corrupt and inefficient, and that you sign off on the city budget actually being in balance, no matter how they get there, with taxes or spending, and that you invest the pension fund. Am I missing something?
No, but how you do that job will have an impact on policy. Now, you look at how controllers have done it from Jay Golden and Liz Holtzman to Bill Thompson currently. If you do that audit job right, it's both an accounting function and a policy function. You're supposed to do a performance audit. In other words, make sure that the agencies are doing their job right. Now, what does it mean to do housing policy right? Well, that's where your values come into play, and you say, okay, are we making sure that when there's development that there's affordable housing as part of it? That's a policy call. As controller, I'll push for affordable housing. how much should the city be pushing for job growth? That's a policy call. And just as I, in the council, have pushed for jobs in the film and television sector, I sponsored and got passed in the council the tax incentives for film and television production. That, Brian, that has doubled the number of production days in the city, and those are good-paying jobs. As controller, I'll bring that same vision to bioscience and green technology. Those are the sectors where we can have growth in the future. So, yes, it's a technical job and a policy job.
City Councilman David Yaskey, my guest on WNYC, one of four people running in the New York City Democratic Controller primary a week from today. We'll have the other two tomorrow. What about that Crane statement that you're the only candidate who thinks we should balance the city budget by making more spending cuts while your three opponents favor more taxes? You heard John Liu's answer to that. Is that your position relative to them?
Well, I do think that we have to go after the waste in the budget, and that's the first place, and we should exhaust that 100% completely before you even start thinking about revenues. Hey, by the way, I think it's progressive to be pro-economic growth. Because I represent a district that has affluent areas. I represent a district that has large public housing complexes where, you know, actual unemployment, not forget the official numbers, actual unemployment is 40 and 50%. The best thing that the city can do for folks in that situation is to bring jobs back here so people can go to work and support their families. It is progressive to be pro-economic development and pro-growth.
But what does pro-economic development mean? Does that mean being the only candidate in the race who does not favor more taxes on the very wealthy in order to help balance the city's budget?
Well, I think being progressive means in 2009 and 2010, you know, we're going to serve there. Progressive means being smart about how to accomplish your goals. You know, I think we've gotten past the time where you succeed in politics by just saying things. As Barack Obama said, I'm not going to tell people what they want to hear. I'm going to tell them what they need to know. And the reality is that to create jobs in this city, it has to be a place people can do business. You know, people have floated ideas like taxes on the transfer of stock. Well, that would shut down Wall Street, and I don't care how, you know, liberal or progressive you are, we're not doing anybody any favors if we hurt the city's economy. So, you know, I'm proud that Crane said I'm the person who has the clearest vision for how to get the city economy back on track.
But to be clear about what
progressive.
But to be clear about what that means, then you're accepting Crane's characterization that you're the only one of the four who would favor deeper cuts in city services to avoid having to tax the wealthy anymore during these economic times. Is that accurate?
What I'm saying is I do believe that we can balance a budget by being disciplined about spending. You know, I have the experience here. I worked in the city budget office. That was how I started my career. And so I know how much you can accomplish when you roll up your sleeves, you get to work, you go line by line in the budget. You ask anybody who works at a city agency, is there wasted spending? Are there layers of bureaucracy we don't need? They will tell you, yes, of course there is. And look, we do have to reduce the overall cost of operation on the budget. I mean, I am proud that I'm the only candidate in this race who's been willing to speak the truth and say we need pension reform. We can't have 10% of the city operating budget be contributions to the pension system. We've got to figure a way to reduce that ongoing cost. And look, labor leaders understand this. The teachers union agreed with Mayor Bloomberg recently on a plan that will help reduce the cost of pensions to taxpayers in the city budget. So, you know, I absolutely think this can be accomplished. Do I think it's easy? Of course it's not easy, Brian.
How about the Joel Klein thing? Crane says you're the only candidate of the four who would support retaining Joel Klein. Is that relevant to who the controller is?
I think it tells you something about, you know, both values and also, you know, your willingness to see things clearly and say what's true. I do think the school system is better today than it was 5 or 6 years ago. And that, you know, to me, that redounds to the credit of the chancellor. I've disagreed with plenty of what he's done. I think there's way too much emphasis on testing. I think we've gone from, you know, too little accountability to not too much accountability, but too much focus on the wrong kind of accountability, where the goal of the year is doing well on the test score, not the goal of the year is educating kids, and a good test score is the byproduct. But, you know, if you ask overall, Has the school system improved? I think the answer is yes, and I think it's important that people, you know, have an accurate understanding of that.
City Councilman David Yaski, running in the New York City Democratic Controller primary a week from today. So we've heard John Liu and David Yaski. We'll have the other two controller candidates tomorrow, David Weprin and Melinda Katz. Councilman Yaski, thank you so very much.
That's it. This is fun. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much. And tonight at 7, I'll be one of the questioners in the New York City Public Advocates Democratic primary debate, sponsored by WNYC, New York One, and the Daily News. The candidates are a colorful bunch in that race: Mark Green, Norman Siegel, Bill de Blasio, and Eric Gioia. So tune in on WNYC or New York One on television, the public advocate primary debate. I'll be one of the questioners tonight at 7.